vegan.
What's up? What's up, people? Welcome to another episode of I Am Negan, a TWD Universe podcast. My name is Adam Bale. I'm a senior editor over at thecoalitionwithak.com, and I'm joined by editor-in-chief of The Coalition, Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, Adam? What's up, listeners and viewers?
And Throwdown Show over on Twitch, Carlos Romero.
Yo, what's going on?
What's going on, man, is that this is it, people. This is it. This is for The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, Season 1, Episode 6, The Last Time. And that's what this is. I will discuss, but I personally think this is for this crew. This is The Last Time. So before we jump into all of it, thanks again for all the support over on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, for the comments or follows on those other platforms and just the views. It's always great, you know, especially when it comes to just going back to the older episodes and people just trying to figure out. And I noticed some people watching or at least listening over on iTunes and Spotify of the World Beyond stuff. I'm like, whoa, why are these getting numbers? But I think people are trying to put together the story because a lot of what's mentioned here is the focal point from World Beyond with the CRA, or the Civil Republic and the CRM. So that makes sense. So that's cool. Thanks to you people out there. And if you haven't seen this episode, if this is your first time here, we will be discussing it and spoiling it. So if you haven't watched it, you've been warned. That's what we're going to do. We're going to rip it up. But if not, if you have already, if you haven't, it's on AMC Plus. That's where you can see it early if you want to go through there, or just wait if you've already watching this after it aired on cable. So with that out the way, 3, 2, 1, boop. All right, I just sort of said in opening, I think this is it, man. I think the title isn't just clickbait or watch bait. I think this is it. This is the last time we see this story of Rick and Michonne, because we got a wacky beginning explaining how this whole thing happened to an even crazier story that we're like, there's no way they're going to complete this in one season, to, yeah, you did it and you got the happy ending. So this is it, right, Rich? Are we done?
This is it. The title is perfect. Because it's not only the last time that we will see Rick and Michonne in this particular story, but it is also the last time that I will ever care about Rick or Michonne as characters.
Whoa! Damn! Spit the fire! Spit the fire! Dylan! Oh, wow! I didn't know you felt that way about Rick and Michonne, man. I didn't know.
Oh, no. Well, we'll get into it, but I just want to say this. I'm glad that Andrew and Danai got a chance to tell their story and get a complete ending. This actually got a complete ending, unlike the actual show, The Walking Dead, where a lot of characters, you didn't know what happened to those characters. So I'm glad that they were able to be involved with putting this show together. I think I actually like both of the characters. But certain stuff with how they handled this season, and in particular this episode, it's just like, why should I care if they don't care when putting time into certain things that they didn't really explain or put together? So but we'll get into that.
Oh, yeah, we definitely. All right. So, Carlos, what about you? You think this is it?
No. I feel like this is probably the best performing show out of all the spinoffs. I feel like this probably will have more viewers than Dead City, than the Daryl Dixon show, than Fear the Walking Dead. You know, you probably got the two, other than Daryl, you got the two biggest stars in Michonne, Rick and Michonne. So no, I don't think this is it. It's open-ended. There's not really, you know, a definitive ending.
What?
A definitive ending in terms of, you know, just like there being closure in terms of the overall narrative. But in terms of Rick and Michonne's story, there's definitely a definitive ending. But the reason why I mention this is because if this was just a Rick and Michonne story, then that would be fine. But there's a bigger narrative at play. And I feel like they're going to extend it because of that, because you have so many other characters in the universe. You have Daryl Dixon, you have Negan, you have Father Gabriel. You have a lot of people that we still know. And I feel like the life cycle of this story is going to get extended because you can extend it past whatever this is. So go ahead, Rich.
I just want to make a quick comment. I do agree with Carlos. I want to clarify what I said. This is the end of the story of Michonne finding Rick and getting Rick back. That part of the story is over. Now, obviously, yeah, they can decide to tell the story about what happens with the kids as they grow up and how Rick and Michonne adjust to coming back into the group with everyone else. But the story of Michonne finding Rick, and also the story of the CRM is over. That's it. Yeah. Based on how they rushed that explanation at the end of what happened after all that.
Yeah, that was so the worst part of this. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I'm a little confused with all of it, Carlos, is because the main overarching story was the CRM trying to take over, and they're gone. So if they come back, Walking Dead is going to be around forever. There's no doubt about that. There's always going to be some kind of Walking Dead show. But like you said, Rich, and you guys said, this finding the love and all that stuff between Michonne and Rick and the kids, that's done. The CRM is done. So if it comes back, it has to bring a new bad. There has to be a new big bad because CRM is kaput. And we'll jump into this right now because we have to. This felt very rushed, this last episode. I mean, this could have been stretched out when they were doing the lovey-dovey even the last episode instead of room to room and the back and forth and the rubber band effect of will Rick go back, will he not, what's going on. It was too much of that. Because this was so compact with info that if you were not fully paying attention, you were going to miss key information. Even to the very end when you're hearing the radio narrator talk about the fallout, which made no sense how it all happened. They're like, oh, the Civic Republic found all the information about what the CRM are doing. And then now they're opening up the borders and letting everybody in. And they're going to shut down all the other ones.
Was it implied that Rick and Michonne let the Civic Republic know? Because that's how I felt, but I'm not too sure.
That's the thing. How? Yeah. They didn't even know. Because remember, their main goal was to just go back, go find the Jadis docs that she had on them, kill the bad dude, and then head out. But then she found out, Michonne, when she went to that briefing, that they were going to do the same thing that Padre were doing in Fear the Walking Dead, which is, we're just going to kidnap all the kids from the other communities and then kill them all, the adults, and then raise them and raise them to be programmed the way we want them, which also makes no sense because you still need people that have skills to travel, to transplant and to just implement into the next generation, right? That's the whole point of going to school. You learn from a teacher who knows to teach. If you kill all these adults that know all this stuff and you have all these kids and say, here's a bunch of books, figure it out, it's never going to work. So that whole logic made no sense when Master General was telling this to Rick. And it was like, all right, this is the goal. We're going to go and get Portland and we're going to flush them out and we're just going to take the kids. And then that's what it said in the video. We're going to take these kids and we're going to start a new and we're going to overthrow the CR. Well, the CR is a big question mark to us, the viewers, because we have never seen a representative from the CR in this episode, in this whole season. We have not seen. So all we know is Rick Michonne, Master General Thorne. That's it. All before it is dead. So that was it. Go ahead, Rich.
So let me just make a comment here. The CRM is a complete joke. All right, let's talk about this villain that we, General Beale. This guy hasn't been on the show that much. You've seen him passing by in certain episodes. He'll make a cameo appearance. But the thing that I did not understand, and obviously, let me say this right now. Obviously, there are people that love the show. If you love the show, I respect your opinion. But my complaint is really about, showing us one thing and then not paying that off later. The last time General Beale had an interaction with Rick, he said, I don't know if I trust you yet. Okay, I don't know if I trust you. But then at the end of this episode, because Rick came back, oh, he fully trusts Rick now all of a sudden. And then he decides to give him the briefing. And then, of course, this is when, you know, they have their little scuffle. The thing is that if they gave us more time with General Beal and Rick, then you can understand how he would trust this character. Whereas, you know, Okafor, they spend a lot more time with Rick and Okafor. So you can understand how they have a stronger bond. But it doesn't make sense how all of a sudden General Beal trusts Rick because he came back. Oh, because he survived. This is a miracle story. He survived. Now you must be the perfect person for the job. It didn't make any kind of sense to me whatsoever. None whatsoever. So that's why I say the CRM is a joke. If this is the guy that's the top general running everything, he is a joke. The whole organization is a joke. And it's very disappointing because they spent so much time telling us in all the shows how important the CRM is for them to all get disposed of in one episode within 30 minutes, complete garbage.
I'll jump in, Rich. That's my biggest issue with the finale. I was probably one of the more positive members in terms of how the season's been progressed. But you built up the CRM, you built up these leaders, you built up Thorne, and they all got taken down, not even within a night, like within the day. Everybody got taken down. Everybody. So you and that was my look. My biggest issue with the Walking Dead proper was the way that they build up the governor there in what's that town called? I always forget. The big town.
Was it season two ending?
No, the finale.
Commonwealth.
The Commonwealth. The way the governor was the final villain essentially for that story, and I feel like that wasn't built up really, really good. But the CRM, it's kind of been built up pretty decently, starting with Okafor, you know, the ideals, and Thorne, sort of Thorne and Rick being sort of like one side and the other. You know, they're all going up through the ranks. Thorne turning from someone that you're rooting for to someone that's eventually going to end up being an antagonist. And then you got Beal, who is at the head of everything. But it just ends up being taken down all with less than an episode. And it just feels like if this is the end, then I understand. If this is the last episode of the Rick and Michonne story, completely understandable because you needed to end it somehow. But if you're going to keep going with Rick and Michonne, you just killed off essentially what would have been the most, the best sort of catalyst in terms of an antagonist for the story. And the whole Portland thing was good. Even though I do agree with the whole kids thing. It's like, oh, why are you just doing the repeat of Padre stuff? But at least you can say like, oh man, these people are ruthless. They're just going to destroy Portland in order to get, you know, in order for their ideals to survive. So, you know, I like those types of motivations, but the execution and the fact that they just eliminated everybody, no one survived. It's crazy.
Yeah. And that was the other thing. It's how rushed it was. Because here it is. This, and it's not so much the rush of this season. The CRM has played, and the Civic Republic's played a major part for years. You know, we discussed with World Beyond, and then it went to Fear, and then it carried off. It's sort of, we're not sure, but I'm sure it's going to play some kind of part in the Daryl as well when it comes to the groups and stuff. But it was a major part. It was a major villain that was crossing over all the other fears. And for it to end this way just seems, besides rushed, it doesn't seem finished. It doesn't make sense. It's like, we know that there were other groups, other locations. They had talked about it. Remember, there was a big summit meeting and there was going to be other leaders. Well, okay, you took this one out, but how did this cause the domino effect of everything falling apart? Yeah, and like I mentioned before, we did not see a representative for the CR, so there wasn't like a president or someone that could fill in and be like, oh, that's a person that Rick and Michonne need to get information to. Who do they tell? They didn't have any real contact with anyone in the city except for Santiago, I think that's his name, the guy who left, who wound up working for the water plant. That's it. So even if, let's say, right at the end, of the episode when we see them on top of the canister and there's everyone that they've just killed has turned into walkers on this base now. Okay, but then it does a little montage and we got the narration of helicopter coming in, picking them up, bringing them back home. What did they just say? All right, where do you live? Yeah, you caused a lot of problems, but where do you live? We'll take you where you got to go. You know, that made no sense. The quick turnaround of them saying, oh, we discovered all the stuff that the CRM were doing. How did you? We didn't see Rick Michonne gather a bunch of hard drives or computers or laptops. Where did this information come? Was there another resistance group that we didn't know about that was involved? It was a lot of holes. It's as if they just wanted to wrap it up. They're like, all right, we're done. Let's do it.
I agree 100%. That was the goal. And before we started recording, you know, Carlos made the comment that, you know, I'm sure that Rich had a lot of tissues. It was a lot of crying. Carlos is right. I was crying in this episode because I was crying of laughter at how ridiculous some stuff played out in this episode. It's just ridiculous. And then the whole thing with Rick's fight with the general. I laughed when I saw that because, you know, it's like this guy, by the end of the episode, Rick does not have his prosthetic hand or any of this stuff. He's still fighting the walkers and stuff. It's hilarious, man. Listen.
Oh, yeah. I understand explosion, people are fans. And he was under them. Remember that the big explosion? And
I fully understand Rick is a fan favorite, and so is Michonne. So the people that love these characters, they're going to overlook all this and say this was amazing. They're satisfied. I get that. I respect it. I'm just saying, from a storytelling standpoint, I had some issues with how they did certain stuff in this finale specifically. Like Carlos said, I mean, I actually think the show was okay this season up until a certain point, but it's just this last episode, you could tell it was rushed. And what to go to, once again, what Carlos said about leaving some type of villain behind, that would have been great to give you, to have the story continue onward in terms of there being a threat. Because I like how they said in the interview, post of the show interview, how Rick said that there would have been a power vacuum. This is why they had to take out Thorne. I get that. But I just don't understand how you would get rid of all the key people in the CRM. It's just, it tells me the CRM is over. I mean, I don't see anyone coming back to reform this organization and try to take over. I don't see that happening. Could they do it? Of course they can, because they'll find a way to do that. But it's just the way this ended. I don't want to see the CRM anymore. I think that's it for that storyline. But and, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and the way they portrayed the CRM here was confusing, because at one point they're showing it where the overhead shot 3,000 soldiers, right? They're showing this whole big military force, but yet it's just Beale. That's it. He has no right hand. He has no left hand. He has nobody. Well, Okafor is gone. And so, Thorne and you and Rick, he was training you guys, right? All right. I'm going to, Thorne, you come in. Exactly. I'm going to give you the epsilon. You had nobody else. You just had these two who were the last resort. This made no sense. You were waiting all these years for Rick. Remember, he was working the line for, 5-6 years before he finally gave in and said, yeah, I'll join the CRM. This whole time, you had no one else? That's why when they show Rick showing up again, remember when right at the beginning of this episode, and he's with Thorne, and it was like, oh, Beale wants to see you. He's over there. And he's like, I never had to kill on the line. And he's killing the walkers all out of breath and stuff like that. Where's the soldiers? Why are you even doing this labor work? You know, it makes no sense.
That was his time to reflect on the task ahead of time. You know, I guess he did make mention that he wanted to take some time to just sit back and think about what they were about to do. I get all that. But to go to the point of there being no one else, this again reinforces the theory of what we have said on the last show, is that this proves that Jadis was a note of no importance to anybody. There was no acknowledgement of her by General Beale or Thorne. None of that. And then in this episode, the only person that was acknowledging, because they came to her place looking for her, and then that person gets killed by Michonne. So it's like, it didn't make any kind of sense. In my opinion, what I think would have made more sense if Jadis was the final boss, and then you killed her in this episode, and then that was the end of it. But obviously, you know, they didn't do that because we actually saw Jadis transform as a character on this show, World Beyond. So it would have made sense. to save her as the final person to take out at the very end. But they said, nope, we're not going to do that. Yeah, so yeah,
it is true. What it is. She should have been. She should have been. And it was so funny, too, because it was almost like a perfect timing that Michonne showed up there, because it just so happened that she just had a friend who was coming over. And I guess the door was still unlocked, but she was nice. Like, are you in there? I was like, I'm coming in. You know, that type of thing. I was like, oh. But then even if that person did come in and didn't see it, it's not like there was any disturbance or anything that would have hinted that Jadis was in trouble somewhere else. So if anything, would have peeped in, like, oh, guess you're not here, and then close the door. So I'm still confused by that, but it was funny. Remember you pointed out, you saw the Father Gabriel poster there. And
That pretty much just to show you that she was still very much struggling with who she was before this transformation of Jadis. So she still, there was still a part of her. Yeah. So I understand why that last episode, she had that monologue with Rick. We understand that. They showed that in this episode, when you go into her room, she still has the painting. So she still remembers her past.
And on the topic of struggling, the struggling of the whole idea of this whole show, this whole series was him trying to get back home. Rick, right? Want to see my family. Mm-hmm. Want to see your kids. Okafor saying, no, you can't. Forget it. Thorne, no, you can't. Forget it. Finally, Rick gets a one-on-one with Master General Beal. And what does he say? We could bring your family here. No problems. All your loved ones could be safe. What the... You couldn't tell this man this before when he was working the line that, hey, if you sign up, we will bring your family into the fold. And if anybody's like, we wouldn't have done it, damn right he would have, because that is the whole plot line for the Commonwealth. And in the comics, that's what happened there. It was like, hey, look what we got here. We got a military. We got this. Bring your people in. We want you in a major role in this. And he doesn't say, well, I got my... No, he says, yeah, let's bring them all in. So that would have applied here if they would have just said that. So why the hell was Okafor and everybody saying no, 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 when he finally gets a one-on-one meeting with the big boss? He's like, oh, yeah, let's bring them all in. I'm going to hook you up. You're going to be a major player in my crew. If he would have told him this early on before tethering him out to do all that other stuff for so long and say, hey, listen. We see that you, according to Jadis, we're not supposed to talk about her, but let's say if she's here, you know, this is Beal. It's like, I don't know, it's a fictional person here. But anyway, this person says that you had a big community. You were a good organizer. People respected you. We need that to help build this military force to help rebuild and protect the community. Before you say no, we will bring all your friends and loved ones. Are you cool with that? 100% Rick would have said yes. And if anybody goes to a con and you see, Lincoln up there on the stage and he's like, go ahead, ask me any question you want. There you go. Ask that question. Would you have accepted if they told you right off the bat that, hey, we'll let you in on this if you could bring your family and friends and everything. You just got to join up. He would have done it. And that's what upsets me, that this whole season wasn't needed then. Because right at the end we find out he could have brought him in all along. Oh my god. It was upsetting. It was upsetting. And I don't want to sound like a downer for the whole episode, and people are like, oh well, you just don't like. No, it had its moments. But it also just felt so rushed. To the point that when we're watching this episode, and once we see Rick Grimes jump over the table, once Beal puts the sword down, I was like, so what's it going to be? And he attacks him. He was in the middle of those flashbacks. And what did I say? I was like, is this a flash? Is this like a vision or something that he's thinking that he should do, but he's not? You know, almost like a Fight Club type of thing. Like, oh, but I smashed his face. Did you do it? No, I should have did that. But, and you know, he does it. And I was like, he's the commander general. There's no guards in front of his door. There's no other soldiers hearing this commotion, a man screaming for his life. Oh,
absolutely not.
Yeah.
They wanted to cut corners and just keep it as convenient as possible. But I just want to make a quick comment and say with those with them having those constant flashbacks for both Rick and Michonne, that's why it felt to me like it was the end of that, because like a goodbye to the characters. Obviously it's not, but it felt that way because they didn't need to constantly show all of these scenes of stuff that the characters have done and all this other stuff. It felt like that was they're saying goodbye to those characters. So we'll have to wait and see what AMC decides. Like you said, this is probably their most popular, most watched show. So they will find a way to bring those characters back. But this particular story of them reuniting and coming back, I feel like that story is over. But what they do beyond that, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Well, the actress that played Thorn spoiled it last week when she sent out that tweet. Goodbye. It was fine. And I was like, either she doesn't watch the show and didn't realize that it wasn't over yet, you know, so she didn't know, or she put the wrong date for that to get posted. You know, but that was another spoiler. And I guess, but I don't think it comes much as a surprise, right? We all figured that character was going to die. And it was in the same way that we figured there was going to be a conflict, because eventually Thorne puts two and two together when she's starting to figure out what's going on. They're like, wait a minute. He said he was trying to find someone he loves. I mean, there was this woman, and he was like, thanks for helping. Oh, no, that's his wife. Like, dum, dum, dum. You know, it's like, oh, I get it now. And then they get their big fight scene, Michonne and Thorne. And that was kind of cool. But, on the upside, that fight was cool. Really cool special effects, right? With the explosion, with all the grenades getting pulled, all being tethered. You know, which
I
is
like
also,
they dumped the water. I thought that was pretty.
Yeah, dumped the water. You know, that whole. I thought it was also a nice little callback of the whole tether thing for Beale. It was like, well, now you're tethered to everything that's gonna go kaboom. You know, now this is your turn. That was cool. What else? Anything else that was good? That's pretty much it. That now I think about it, because that was the main of it. Because they had that meeting, and to hear the goal, and that's the other part that threw me off, if we keep thinking too much with the story, is that idea of the idea of just going in, well, the briefing to go in to take these kids out and try to do this at night, so that way you don't traumatize them. You're gonna traumatize them regardless. You're taking them from their parents and their families. I mean, it makes no sense. But to make it seem like once this blows up and then this stops, then all the other ones fall in line. And that's what it said in the narrative afterwards. It was like, oh, yeah, all the other groups, they're not going to do it. And they realized it was a bad idea. CR figured out what was going on. It's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. So was it all Beale's idea? And everybody else was falling in line? Or were there other commanders in other locations? Because, like I said, and they said it even in this show, there was a big meeting of all the bosses meeting to discuss this. So this definitely was a thought-out plan. It wasn't like a last minute.
I have an official response of this from AMC.
Oh, okay.
AMC said, we didn't think through any of this stuff as deeply, so we shouldn't think about any of this stuff as deeply.
Oh, okay. All right. I get it. All right. You see? There you go. And then that's it. And so then what are we left with? We are left with the happy ending. And I'm sure there's plenty of people that were watching and had the same gripes that we had. But then once that last scene comes up, where you see Rick and Michonne getting off the helicopter and RJ and Judith running, that moment. I mean, that's a tearjerker, right? That's who doesn't cry at those scenes? It's just like the one that always gets me, and I always remember, in a little sidetrack, but this is funny. Remember the movie The Patriot? Remember that movie, Mel Gibson, Civil War?
Yeah, Heath Ledger.
All right, yep.
Young Heath Ledger.
So if you remember in that movie, Mel Gibson's character, he had a bunch of daughters, and he had a young one. And when the mom died, the daughter just stopped talking. And so now the sister of his wife was raising the kids. And so the whole thing's going on with the British, and they're invading all the stuff. And so Mel Gibson's like, I have to go to war. You know, I have to go. And he goes to the little girl, and he's like, you know, anything you want to say? And she just staring at him. She still doesn't talk. And he's like, all right. Yeah, and then he leaves. And as he's walking away, she runs up, stop that. And she's like, don't go. he starts crying, and he gets down, and he, I mean, out of all the actors out there, no one does a best screen act cry like Mel Gibson, with his eyes and just looking around, all freaking out. Man, me and my buddy were there, we're looking at each other, we were both crying. These two guys just had a thing, just crying watching it. It was like, this is, she was like hugging him, don't go, just don't go. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. It was amazing. So anyway, for those who've seen that scene, you know what I mean. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people that were just perfectly fine with this episode watching it until that moment. And they're like, all right, I got some in my eye. Hold on. I got some in my eye. You know, all right, I'm good. You know, because that was a moment that a lot of people have been waiting for. You know, you could see it in threads and the Reddits, like you said, Rich, how many people were all for the lovey-dovey between Rick and Michonne, all the hugging and kissing and all that stuff in every episode. And this is what they wanted, to put the icing on the cake. They wanted to see the reunion with the parents and the kids. It would have been great to see somebody in the back on a cart. I don't know, Aaron or somebody like who dropped them off in this field. You know, just or Ezekiel was like, oh, hey. And then he lifts up his robo arm, you know, Aaron. And so, and me too. I don't know. It would have been cool, but no. Instead, we just have these kids running out of the forest, running straight to their parents. And that's it. That really felt like the end. There was no post credits of, oh, somebody's out to get him, or somebody on a sniper scope, you know? I was like, I got him in my sight. Something like that. No. Case closed. CRM kaput. Family reunited. What more can you do with this story arc? There's nothing more, right? Right, Carlos? This is it.
This is it. Speaking of it, I got to let everyone on the show, and Rich and Adam, I have to drop because of... I have some
Sunday,
so I got some stuff to do. But I will before I leave, I will mention it's, I feel like the Rick and Michonne story, like Rich mentioned, that whole thing, it's done, because I mean Michonne accomplished her goal and the brave man is now at home. So I feel like if they do a Rich and Michonne or Those Who Live sequel, it's gonna be more world building, because you have there's no way you bring up the show without them mentioning Alexandria, and there's no way to mention Alexandria and Rick and Michonne and Judith and RJ without it being The Walking Dead proper again, because that's where Father Gabriel is at, that's where Carol's at, that's where they're right next to the hilltop. So I just feel like either they just end this show with one season and they accomplished what they needed to accomplish, or they continue it and it's essentially going to be The Walking Dead Part 2. And that's just how I feel like the two sort of the fork in the road is going to be. You know, I could be wrong. Maybe they'll change it up. Maybe the CRM somehow survives from the ashes, but we'll see. But I do got to catch you guys later.
Yeah, go. All right, we'll see you. Your
show. Yep. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you in the next spinoff.
Cool. All right, peace. Later, Carlos. All right, Rich. So this leaves the major question here. So what's her, Danae, right? That's her name, Danae, the actress that plays Michonne?
Yeah.
She had said in an interview recently, and she said in a few outlets, but it was recently it popped up again, that she eventually wants to see some kind of Avengers type formation of all the surviving members to get together to do something, to work together to get a job done, whether it's fight a big bad or do something story-wise. Now, we know that's not going to happen with the CRM. That's gone. But do you still see something like that happening now that the CRM is gone and the way this story ended?
Well, there could be a reunion, I guess you could say. But, I'm not sure how they're going to do that. It would have to be some other adversary. Maybe something happens in Dead City with the people that Negan are working for now. I have no idea how they're going to do that. But they will find a way to reunite cast members, but it's going to be a different type of way. I don't know, in terms of the bad guy, who that is, the antagonist, I have no idea. who that is going to be.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the only real thing I kept thinking about is like, right, when we're watching this, it's like, all right, so how does this end with that goal? How does it happen? And I thought maybe they were going to get captured. It was going to be a cliffhanger ending, you know, something. And they got an SOS out there. And maybe Ezekiel, someone hears it, or Eugene, and says, help is on the way, type of thing. Sort of like how we heard in the Daryl Dixon with Carol over the walkie. So I figured it was going to be something like that. But no, we didn't get that. So I'm not sure where this goes, because I like Daryl Dixon. We've talked about it. We love that one. And I liked where it's at with the location. It's in France. It's new. It's a new vibe and all that. I don't want them to just do one more season and then just run back to the States. Keep running through Europe, you know, get on a boat, go somewhere else. And next, you know, you're in Amsterdam or Germany or somewhere. Just go around the world, show us different locations, and then eventually come back. I just don't want to see that Carol shows up next season, which is not a spoiler. We know that's happening. That was seen at the last episode of the Daryl Dixon. She shows up, she helps out, and then they get on a boat, and we see them sailing back to the States. And then it's like, well, what do you go from there? Where are we going? Are we going to do the Dead City, or we're going to try to link up back in the city? Because that's the other thing. They could link up, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to link up at the Commonwealth or Alexandria. They can do that in the city. Maybe Maggie sends a message and says, hey, we need help, reinforcements, and then all of a sudden they show up. So it could happen. Do we need it to happen? I don't think so. I don't think we need it right now. Let's have these other shows flourish in their new spaces and take it from there. But man, this was an ending, and this was the ending. I'm telling you, I saw a lot of outlets that were talking about possibilities, and this was not one of them, because like we talked about, it's very popular. Both of the characters are very popular and they make a lot of money. There was a lot of interest. They talked about the ratings. I don't know if they were consistent throughout the season, but definitely those first two episodes were pulling in some big numbers. They said some of the biggest numbers they've seen since Walking Dead proper was on. And that's great. But then what do you do? What do you do for me? Especially when you already had this ending. Now, do these people just want to see Rick and Michonne? Like, do they not care about everything else? It's possible, right? It's possible that there's like, I don't care what they're doing. I just want to see this family together and pulling off craziness like the Ghostbuster family, you know? And I want to see them running around and fighting walkers and saving people and building communities and doing all that stuff. And that sounds great and all, but that's not what The Walking Dead is. If you want to stick back to its roots, it's dark, it's sad. That's one thing that the CRM never discussed when Beale was giving that speech. He talked about the testing that they were doing, which we saw in World Beyond. But they never talked about trying to figure out a cure or preventive measures, because that's the other issue. Like we just saw even with Beale, that you can nuke all the communities you want of, oh, we got a big herd coming here and a big herd. Herds will always pop up because people die. And as soon as you die, what happens? You convert, you're a walker, and then if you're in a bunk in a barracks with some other soldiers, they're sleeping, next thing you know, bite, 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 bite. By morning, that whole bunk there, everybody's already been converted to walkers. It's a no-win battle. So the only way is to come up with some kind of preventive measures. And this brings back, for those gamers out there listening, Dead Rising. Remember Dead Rising? Was it the Valtrex or whatever it was? And it was a serum that they can use that can prevent them from turning. And I think it was a few hours, and then they had some stronger dosage for days, months, whatever it was. But that's what I was hoping, that at some point that we were going to get in The Walking Dead that can make things a little more interesting. I definitely thought that World Beyond was going to introduce that when they started talking about, oh, we're going to, this series is going to focus more on the science part of it, and we're going to talk about experiments and all that. I'm like, oh, this is great. So now we're going to figure things out. Then they abandoned that, and it didn't happen. And that didn't even get brought up here when Beale was giving his speech about cleansing and this and that and what we're going to do. And that doesn't solve the problem of people just dying naturally and turning into walkers in a gated community. How do you solve that? Nothing. It's gonna happen. It's gonna spread. So there goes that. But I don't know. Anything else you want to say, Rich, about this?
Oh, no. I thought it was a good show. A disappointing finale, though. But yeah, we shall see where everything goes from here.
And where does it go from here? What's next? Is it the Daryl Dixon one coming back? Is that the next one? But I think that's next year, right?
Yeah, they actually are going to have some type of first look at it tonight. That's going to air right after this episode airs. So we're probably going to come back sometime soon if they're having that announcement. Maybe over the summer or right before the summer.
Yeah. Tales of the Walking Dead. I don't think we're going to see any more of that. We haven't heard anything of that, right? And I know that was a whole big thing that people wanted to find out if we were going to get more with. Oh, man, I'm blanking on their names now. The big dude from the Old Spice commercials that did one of the first episode. Terry Crews. Remember Terry Crews and Olivia Munn? And everybody was like, oh, we love this combo. They should get something. It didn't happen. And, you know, as you know, she's dealing with a cancer issue. And hopefully all is well. It sounds like it is. She's in recovery, so that's great news. But that was one pairing that a lot of people were hoping would turn off into some kind of spin-off of a show. But I don't think that's going to happen. And I get the comic relief and adding some of that into something that's already dark. But I've always said, and I'll keep saying it, this series is meant to be dark. The Walking Dead was always meant to be dark, from the comics to the first airing of the show, the very first episode where you see Rick Grimes and he's on the highway. And remember the little zombie kid? And he put the kid down. And of course, he didn't show it on camera, but still, he shot. And they were just implying, it's like, this is it. They were just setting up the tone and for the movie. Like, get ready to just see things that you've never seen in a zombie movie or a zombie show. And I'm glad, at least with Dead City, they're going back to that. It's still very dark. Everybody's gritty. There's a lot of problems. No one's happy-go-lucky. I don't want to see that. Yes, you could have sprinkles of it, but I don't like comic relief in these type of shows. And that's some of the things that I got from that Terry Crews, Olivia Munn and stuff. I don't know. So I'm glad. Hopefully that's not happening. It's definitely not happening in the Daryl Dixon. And as far as I know, those are the only two spinoffs that are going to be running. Who knows? Maybe they're trying to figure out something new based off of the ratings. I still don't know we'll find out when this airs, the final episode of For Those Who Live, to see if the ratings are strong, which I'm assuming they will be, because a lot of people were interested, at least at the beginning. And we always talk about it, right? It's like, people tune in for the beginning, the mid-season, and the finale. Those are the three episodes for almost any show you watch out there that people usually feel that they have to tune in. For all the in-betweens, they're okay. They're missing. So we'll see. We'll see if this pans out. But thanks again, people, for sticking with us for all this coverage for this latest spinoff. And thanks for supporting us on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, of course, on our website, thecoalition.com. We've got reviews of games and movies and shows and interviews and all kinds of stuff there. So, again, thanks. And we're still going to be around. This might be done, but we'll be back, as you heard. We'll be back for the other spin-offs whenever those happen. Or if a new one comes out, then we'll be covering that. Because that's what we do here at I Am Negan. We cover The Walking Dead, and we've been doing it for years. So, thanks again. And we are out, everybody. And for Carl, same thing. Peace. And have a good weekend. Or week, I should say, because now it's the end. Sunday's over. Later.